I was sitting back there enjoying the film and Ben talking and Mike and Catherine, and I thought maybe they'd make it on to 7 o'clock and then there would be time for me and I'd go downstairs, but it didn't work out that way. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. And I want to say that if you were here this morning, I was here at the second service sitting upstairs and heard a young lady named Amy Scott give her testimony and then sing an absolutely beautiful song. It brought tears to my eyes. It was so moving. She told about the pain, about the hurt, about the loss of a child, about the suffering, about things that I can only imagine and that things that friends of mine have experienced, but thank God I haven't experienced it. But she gave just an absolutely wonderful testimony, so mine is going to be so pale and can't compare with the strength and the love and the forgiveness. It was just a gospel lesson all in one song. I also feel a little bit like those four-year-olds that were up here this morning for the very first time, who were singing, and this is a powerful pulpit here. This pulpit in our church, I think, is the moral compass of Enterprise. And I think our pastor and the pastors that we've had before, Brother Sonny, set the tone and point us in the right direction, point us in the way to Christ, in the way to serve others, in the way to love each other, in the way to forgive. And they bring to our attention events and things that affect us as citizens, urge us to vote, urge us to a National Day of Prayer, continually tell us how good God has been to our nation and to all of us. And so I'm just not worthy to stand behind here by any circumstance. And I want you to know that I wasn't really supposed to be here. The deacons, Joe Harrod, set it up so that each deacon kind of learns about each other, since we have people that didn't grow up in Enterprise. And my turn was tonight. It was supposed to be downstairs to about 30 deacons, so I didn't expect to address the whole congregation, but I do appreciate the opportunity, and I want to tell you that. And I appreciate Jackson Hansen praying for me. I've watched Jackson and Clark and all of these young people. I've been so impressed with their courage, the fact that they pray, they take up our offering, and they do so much. And it meant a lot for me, for Jackson to single me out and ask the Lord to help me as I gave you my testimony. I want to mention to you that I love this church. I've been a member here since about 1976. That's the same year that I married my wife across the railroad tracks over on Brunson Street at her home. She grew up as a Methodist at the First Methodist Church, and when we got married, I had been coming here, so I asked her to come to our church, and she did. And a few years later, she joined our church and asked to be baptized because she had only been sprinkled in the Methodist Church. So some of the most important things in my life have happened here, and that's why I love this church. I love our members. I love our pastors. Sometimes things, you know, we may not be exactly pleased with one particular person or the way they're doing a particular job because we all have different views on that. But I always try to say that in this church, I'm going to support the pastor. I'm going to support the minister of music. I'm going to support whoever they are because God has led them here to help us. And I want to be loyal to our church. I want to be loyal to our staff, and I want to be loyal to God. After I had gone here for a while, when Bill Montgomery was our pastor, I was nominated to be a deacon, and I was selected as the deacon. I was very honored and humbled by that because there were a lot of men. There were a smaller deacon body at that time, and there were a lot of men in this church that were much more worthy than I was. But I was selected, and I tried to do my best as I began my duties there. John and I were blessed with two wonderful children. I still call them children, although they're 33 and 30. And Bill and Eddie Searcy, who are good friends, had two boys that were almost the same age as John and Kate. My daughter, Kate, came to know Christ here, and she came to know Christ not only through what we told her, but more importantly, through what she learned here. She had wonderful Sunday school teachers. I remember Jim Redman. I remember Mike Stevenson. I remember Steve Hagens, Saroba, all those people who labored down in the nursery to help them and to teach them. And Kate and her friend Amanda Moats, John and Maxine's daughter, accepted Christ the same day which they were baptized by Dr. Montgomery, and they were the last two members that were baptized in this church by Bill Montgomery. Then we had an interim pastor for about a year, and then Brother Lawrence Phelps came. And during that time, my son John felt the urge to accept Christ. And so we said, well, John, let's wait until we get, you know, a permanent pastor rather than an interim. So we held him back, and his friend Stephen Searcy, Bill and Eddie's son, had come to that same decision. And so John and Stephen Searcy were the first two people who joined our church and were baptized here by Lawrence Phelps. We've had great teachers here in my life, people that have influenced me. One of the greatest and a friend of Mo's as well in the sessions was Bart Ingram. Bart Ingram taught here for more than 50 years. He was just a wonderful person. He was a wonderful mentor. He was one of the kindest, sweet spirit, just a wonderful guy and a wonderful friend. And I really enjoyed being in his class. And then after he left, I moved to Joe Talmadge, who was my dean of students when I went to the junior college here. But I also see all my close friends are here. All the important events in my life are here. Jackie Brunson I met when I was a junior in high school. She was a newcomer to Enterprise and taught. She was a substitute teacher, and she taught my speech class for two or three days, and we became friends and have been friends ever since then. And Mo Sessions, who's another hero in our church, who worked so hard for the Hispanic mission and who works for Kids Camp and helping abused children. So you don't have to go outside this church to find heroes. They're here, people that give their lives and commit and try to help other people here. Dean Craig, who does so much work, he's talented as a woodworker and a carpenter. He can build anything. He gives his time and energy to the vineyard, and I commend him for that. And Mike and Virginia Stevenson. Virginia has just single-handedly almost undertaken to support all of our deployed troops. She's been working on that project for so long, and she loves soldiers, and she has a heart to help. I want to tell you a little bit about me. I grew up out near Asbury, and that's where Jackson's grandmother and grandfather had a store out there. I grew up on a farm. I'm the third of five children. I have two older brothers and two younger sisters. My parents always wanted us to go to church, encouraged us to go to church. And we went to church. I joined Goodman Baptist Church during a revival when I was about 12 years old. And I tried to stay faithful to Christ, but like many of you, I strayed away. I finished high school in 1966 in Enterprise. I went my first year to Enterprise State and met Dr. Talmadge. B.A. Forrester was was our president of the college. He was a member here as well. I then transferred to Auburn and did my next 3 years there. I had a great first year at Enterprise State. I had a great fourth year at Auburn, but years two and three, I kind of made some decisions and choices that were not the best. And I wanted to go to law school, so I really had to hump it in my fourth year. I graduated from Auburn University in 1970. Some of you will understand or live with this. At the time, you could get a deferment to go to college and then go to grad school if you wanted to. And President Nixon and the Selective Service did away with those deferments. So like Bill Clinton, when I finished undergrad school, I got my draft notice and I was supposed to go register. I had already registered, but go for my physical. Well, in the meantime, the Lord intervened and a slot in the Alabama National Guard opened up. There was one in Andalusia or one in Sampson. Those were the only two in the entire state. There's a waiting list of people on that to get those slots. But I was fortunate and blessed enough to get one, and so off I go to basic training. And then when I got back, I said, you know, I like this, but I think I'd like to be a leader. I'd like to be an officer. So I applied for officer candidate school, and I went to OCS, officer candidate school, at Fort Benning. I had been accepted to law school in 1973, but when I got I had to go away and do my basic training, and we've all got our basic training tape. I had to do that, and when I got back, I'd missed the first year of law school, so I had to reapply, and I had to take something twice. It's called a law school LSAT. Taking it one time is bad enough. And so I took it and was accepted in 73. Well, when I reapplied for 74, they said, well, guess what? Your score is not high enough for the class of 74, so you've got to take it again. And I said, well, how many points do I have to make? And they said, you got to make 5 more points. So I got that old book. I couldn't afford to take the course, so I got a handbook, How to Study for the LSAT. And I worked on that thing every night for about 3 or 4 months. I prayed and I worked and I took the exam and I passed it. And when I got there, I had some very nice recommendations from some wonderful friends. And the assistant dean of admissions, who was a sorority sister I know of Jean Sessions now, a lady named Camille Cook, that my daughter Kate is named Catherine Camille Cook for, said, she sent word when I got there, she said, I want to meet you. She said, you've got the nicest recommendations of anybody that we've had in the past year. So I was very honored with that. And I've been helped by so many people. I've just really been fortunate that people have somehow wanted to help me. And I've always tried to help. I've tried to give back. And I think that's what we need to do is somebody pulls you out of a jam, you pull someone else out. You try to help people. And that's what my work as a lawyer involves. I don't think, I think the law is a lot like or is similar to religion. People get in all sorts of jams and they get in all sorts of problems. And sometimes those problems seem to overwhelm them and they don't make good choices and good decisions. So like when we come to Christ, we come and say, here I am, scarred and wounded and hurt and full of sin, cleanse me and make me clean. Sometimes people do that. They say, I've just made some terrible decisions, some bad choices. Can you help me? So that's the thing I like about being a lawyer. I like to help people. Sometimes I help the plaintiff, the person who's been injured. Sometimes I help the defendant, the person who may have been negligent and hurt someone. I do sometimes some domestic work. I do some wills. I do everything, but I just like to help people. And it makes you feel good when you've done something and you've helped someone. And I got a letter about 30 days ago from a man I met in 1974 who was a colonel in the Army, and he was going through some papers and he found me and he sent me an email and he said, I see that you're an Enterprise. I flew you on a mission when my partner Ken Fuller's son, Mike, accidentally was killed. I was at Camp Shelby where Sonny has been, and I got a flight back over here, and that man was the pilot. He was a captain at the time and he flew me. And he said he's coming back here this summer and he wants to come see me. And I said, well, please do, I'll take you to lunch. I want to tell you a little bit about what I think. All the theology that I've got is reduced to this narrow compass. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And I'm one of them, and many of you are as well. John said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that's what Christ has done in my life. And that's what we're all about as Christians, is sharing our faith with others. My favorite parable is Luke 15. I love the prodigal son, or the loving father and the lost son. The son strayed away from God. He strayed away from his father, but he came to his senses. And when he came to his senses, he humbly returned to his father and said, take me back. I'll just be a worker in your field. And the Father said, no, no, you're my son. You were lost and you're restored back. So we all know, young people, no matter how far you go, no matter where you go, no matter where you wind up, always remember that parable. Your parents love you. People in this church love you. Your pastor loves you. And we're never beyond the reach of God. As I said, I've been richly blessed. I'm not lucky. I don't have good karma. I'm not fortunate. I've been blessed, and many of you have also been blessed. I've been blessed not to go through what Amy went through and told you about this morning. You know, I'm healthy. Every day I get up, and I'm glad to be alive. When I was a battalion commander in the Guard one year, we had a bad annual training. We had these regular Army folks that were on us all the time to get something worked out because, you know, we were not the professionals. But we had a sergeant in my unit who had been just a real problem. He drank and he just was irresponsible, but they said he had accepted Christ during the year and he was changed. And sure enough, I tried to always go to church service. We were out in the field. It was about 90 degrees at 7 o'clock in the morning. And he got up and he prayed and he said, and I thought, I was just sitting there saying, you know, what else can go wrong? It's just a mess. You know, they're going to be back over here. They're going to nitpick us to death. We have to dig all these foxholes again. And so he got up and he said, you know, he said, I got up this morning and he said, I woke up and he said, I put my feet on the ground. And he said, I stood up and my legs worked and I reached up and my arms worked and I opened my eyes and my eyes worked. And somebody called my name, and my ears worked, and I spoke, and my voice worked. He said, you know, God is good. God is great. And it's just great to be alive. And I think that that's true. So God's been faithful to me. My favorite hymn is Great is Thy Faithfulness. I love that. It was written by a man named Thomas Chisholm. And he had difficulty in his adult life. He was very ill. He was poor. He just really had a hard time. But he found great comfort in the scriptures and in the fact that God was faithful to be his strength in times of illness and weakness and to provide for his needs. Lamentations 3:22 is the basis of that song. And it said, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassion fails not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. There is no shadow of turning with thee." Now, I'm not going to do like Sonny did and sing it, but you know the song. And I also want to tell you that I believe every single word in the Bible. I know some people say, oh, you people are foolish to do that because some of these things couldn't happen. But I believe that we have a God who can perform miracles and who has performed miracles in the past and continues to do so. I believe with all my heart that Jonah was in the belly of the whale. I believe that Noah built an ark, and every animal in existence and every fowl and a bird and everybody that God wanted saved was on that boat with Noah, and Noah and his wife and his three sons and their three daughter-in-laws were there together. I believe that the axe that was lost in the river, the metal axe, was found by Elisha, and an axe floated on the water. I believe that a shepherd boy named David, who was about 14 or 15 years old, took a slingshot and hit it right here between the eyes of a big giant named Goliath, who everybody was afraid of, and killed him. And I believe that the walls of Jericho fell down from trumpet blast that Gideon was going around. I believe that Moses parted the Red Sea, that he took his staff and struck the rock and water came out. And I believe that Jesus walked on the water and he raised people from the dead. So the Bible is real in my life. I like to use it. I like to refer to it. I also see God every day in nature. I love trees, I love flowers, I love plants. When I was a battalion commander, I had a rule. We'd go out to Fort Rucker about six times a year and bivouac overnight. And I said, Nobody cuts down a dogwood tree to make camouflage around your stuff. You know, take an oak, take a sweet gum, take anything, but don't bother the dogwoods. And I've got 129 in my yard that I've planted that I love so much. One of the things I've done after I retired is to turkey hunt. Somebody says, well, you know, how can you say turkey hunt's religious? I don't say it's religious, but it does give you a sense of appreciation. It's the most humbling event you can go to, that a bird's so much smarter than a human being. But when I go turkey hunting, I get up and I go outside, and I get up at 4:30, and go, Bill Searcy and I go together a lot. I'll pick Bill up at 5, or he'll pick me up. My radio's on 90.3. A man named, can't think of his name, but he does music through the night and has a great voice. And I look up in the star, I look up in the, it's black, it's dark. I look up in the sky and I see just hundreds of thousands of stars. And I immediately think, you know, that's what God promised Abraham. I'll make your descendants as plentiful as there are stars in the sky. So I think about that and I think, you know, that's a promise God made. It's true, and I see it. And then we get there, and we get all set up in the dark, and then you look toward the east, and here comes the sun rising, and I think, you know, God made that sun to come and come up. I like the trees and the flowers and the rivers and the hills, the mountains, the beach. All those things are gifts from God to us. The most important thing that I think that I've learned is, and I would like to share this with you, I appreciate the architecture. I love our church. I love the inside and the outside and the paneling and the columns. And I love beautiful buildings, and I love art. I love paintings and watercolors and people that can do that. I like fine furniture. I like fine guns. I like, you know, we all collect stuff. But you know, no matter what it is, I don't have to have it. You know, God has been good to me, and He's given it to me, and He's let me have it. But it doesn't own me, and I don't ever want anything that owns me. You know, if I lost it all tomorrow, I hope that I could find the strength to say, like Job did, naked came I from my mother's womb. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I've learned that nothing gold can last. You can't find pleasure in gold or cars or money or power or anything except through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Your fame goes away, your athletic ability goes away, your beauty goes away, but there's a sweet spirit that's left that's more beautiful than any of that. And if you think about it, 100 years ago, 1912, yesterday and today, the Titanic, the unsinkable ship went down in the cold North Atlantic. There were 2,200 people on there, and 1,500 of those died. And all those people, when it got down to it, all, you know, the music, the jazz, and the fun songs all went away, and the band played as the ship was sinking, "Nearer, My God, to Thee," because that's what it all comes down to, is what your relationship with God is. Finally, I want to say this. My life as a lawyer has been blessed because I've had wonderful clients, and I've had wonderful friends. Many of you have sat on a jury when I've had a case. Sometimes you rule for me. Sometimes you ruled for my client. Sometimes you ruled against my client. But it was because of the evidence that was in the case. You know, all you want is a level playing field here. And I've had just wonderful clients. They're not clients, they're friends, wonderful relationships. And in the very end, that's what really matters, is the relationship that you have with your family, with your friends, with your community, and most importantly, your relationship with Christ. And in my career, both in the military, I had 31 years and retired in 2001. And this is my 38th year practicing law, and you'd think I'd have it down now, but Joe Cassidy Sr., my great friend and mentor, is still practicing, and he's been practicing now for 62 years, so he hasn't learned it all yet. But I met some great people, and I just really admire. Our church has so many great military people who have moved in and stayed or come in and come back. Our pastor is one of those. But Fort Rucker is just a gem. It's brought us wonderful people. You all know the people and the contributions they make to our church and to our community. As John and I were coming in tonight, we saw General Parker and Judy, and I said, well, look, there's the Parkers there. So we just happened to meet. The Lord sent us to meet right there at the front, and I said, well, what are y'all doing here? And he said, I heard the service this morning, and I heard you were going to speak, so I came here to support you. And I feel like that I've been lifted up and supported by all of you. I appreciate that. I thank you for everything that each one of you do in my life and in my family's life and all the things that you've done for my children and all the things that you do for each other and all the things that we do for Christ. And that is my testimony.